Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program. This is a show where I get to interview some of the best, brightest, and most creative people in the world, or talk about subjects near and dear to my heart. Today I'm going to talk about branding from the soul, and this is the third part of a five-part series I've been doing during the month of August. And during this 30-minute program today, I'll focus on the subject, which I call the law of the very good reason, and I'm going to get into that in just a minute. But first, a little background. You see, as a chiropractor for many years, I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, our teachers, or even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. Consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And, like finding a soulmate or, getting cash for their work or whatever. And you can get more information on this, Logical Soul Technique, books, courses, meetup groups, and more at my blog site at www.logicalsoul.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for my free e-zine. It's full of powerful tips for self-discovery. And you can also get my number one secret tactic for turning your passion into cash at www.passiontocashvideo.com. Now, I chose my topic tonight in order to help you develop a plan to discover your own passion and inner wisdom. And this law, the very good reason that I'll go over, will maybe give you some insight as to why you are where you are and why things are happening in your life the way they're happening. And after about 10 or 15 minutes, I invite you to please call in with your comments and your questions. Our phone number is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. Now, the subject matter, or the subject of today's talk, is called The Law of the Very Good Reason. And actually, it's more of a theory, I must admit, because I sort of made it up because it just sort of came out at me. After about 18 years of working with this, doing the Logical Soul Technique, I figured out finally that there's a kind of a reason why things happen in our lives. And a lot of these reasons we give to subconscious factors or divine factors. For example, you might say that, it's according to God's will that these things are happening. Or, I sabotage this for reasons that, I'm not really in touch with myself, or something of that nature. And so we sort of assign, because we don't know the reasons, we sort of assign reasons. And this is human nature. I mean, we all want to understand what's happening to us. And our tendency to assign reason or assign some factor that we don't really understand, we just sort of put it into, to lump it into categories. Now, I've written this, in fact, I just worked on this today. This is a what I call the secret law of motivation and the law of the very good reason. Let me see if I can find that section here, and I'll share it with you. I may have mentioned in the earlier sections of my talk or the earlier lessons that there's a law of motivation, or actually a theory of motivation developed by Abraham Maslow back in the 1940s. And his idea was basically that you have a different levels, or what I would call, or what he called different levels of motivation. For example, at the very basic level, and you can sort of picture Maslow's hierarchy of needs in his theory of motivation. The hierarchy of needs is sort of like that picture of the pyramid. At the top of the pyramid is something he calls self-actualization, which involves morality, creativity, spontaneity, and so forth. But starting at the base of the pyramid, the primary motivation, which is at the very basis of the pyramid, is physiological. In other words, if we don't have enough air, we're going to fight and do whatever we can to get air. Like that, we want to get food, we want to get water, we need to procreate, we want to, sleep, we have to have homeostasis. In other words, we have to have our bodies functioning properly. We need to excrete, we need to go to the bathroom when necessary. All these are very basic physiological needs that we are motivated by our actions to achieve. And if we don't have these, we suffer. Next on up, his ladder of motivation was security, safety and security of the body. We want a job or we want resources available to us. Morality enters into the picture, family, health, property. All of these surround our concept of safety or security. Next on up the ladder of Maslow's hierarchy of needs comes love and belonging, where friendship falls in, family, a love of a family falls in, where the family begins to expand or we expand our definition of family. And also sexual intimacy, where we actually feel loving and belonging with another person. Up on the scale of the hierarchy of needs comes self-esteem, or this level of esteem, which is I call level 4, whereas the first one, physiological, would be level 1, safety is level 2, love, belonging is level 3. Esteem would be level 4. That's self-esteem, confidence, achievement, respect of others, and respect by others. And at the very top is the self-actualization, where it's self-knowledge, problem-solving, lack of prejudice, accepting of things, of facts, of people, situation, a high level of creativity and morality. These self-actualized people are the ones who have very small needs as far as actual physical needs. They seem to be very content in their lives, and you may know some people like that. Usually they're older people, but anybody can achieve self-actualization at any time, according to Maslow. It's just that the other levels of motivation have to be satisfied before that highest level can be achieved. If, for example, you're not secure in your body and your property and your job, it's very difficult to focus on or be motivated by self-actualization, or even self-esteem for that matter. You just want to get a job. You want things to work for you. And if they're not working, that's the first level at which you're going to be obsessed with, or that's going to be your prime directive to be able to get whatever those things are. Now, the law of the very good reason is something I coined, and basically what it means is that there's a very good reason why we have certain motivations in our subconscious mind. In other words, we may think we're sabotaging ourselves. Say we go get, we're starting a business and we want to start this business and we're going along and things just don't seem to be working. We seem to have problems all along the way and, you know, we just fail. And what is the reason why we would fail? My understanding, according to the law or theory of the very good reason, is that there was a very good reason to fail. Now, if you were striking out on your own and you wanted to get that, if you wanted to have or be in business, you have to ask yourself honestly, do I really want to be in business? If you go inward, if you begin to look for reasons inside, and a lot of times you can use muscle testing or applied kinesiology, self-testing, things like that, and I show you how to do this on my blog if you want to just do a search to find out how to do self-testing, to navigate into that subconscious arena and find out the reasons why things are the way they are, you can get very clear answers that way. Or you can also get somebody else to test you to find out what are the very clear answers that are in effect that, what's making your life run the way it runs. And so the theory of the very good reason says that essentially you're going to be drawn to that which is at your level of motivation. If you're on level 2, you're primarily focused on security. If you're level 4, you're primarily focused on success, motivation, self-esteem, things of that nature. So it's going to be, depending on the level of motivation you're at, that's going to be the decisions that you'll be made. Now, if you made, for example, you were on a level 1 or 2 when you were very young, and you made decisions that just sort of locked themselves into place, according to the theory of the very good reason, that prime directive will be in place, because until that is satisfied, you won't be able to achieve the higher levels of motivation, or you won't be able to rise to the higher levels of motivation. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't achieve great things. In fact, there's lots of stories, particularly in the early 1900s, there's a story of Hetty Green, who was one of the richest women who ever lived. Hetty Green was, she had $93 million, and back in the early 1900s, that was a considerable amount of money. And but Hetty Green also was stuck on a level one or two. She was barely subsisting. She spent no money. All her money was saved or invested or put into places where nobody could get to it. She put it into mattresses and in boxes and places where nobody could find it. And she had so much money, but she was still stuck on survival. In fact, her son, the story goes, lost his leg because she was searching around for a free clinic to take him to amputate the leg. And so he ended up losing a leg because she refused to spend money on, you know, taking care of her son, which is quite an interesting story in and of itself. Anyway, Hetty Green, I just remember reading this when I was growing up, and I thought it was quite peculiar. Someone with so much money would be so focused on survival. But case in point, your level of success is not dependent on your frame of mind necessarily. You can make a whole lot of money and you can find yourself making a lot of money, but your level of motivation won't change. Now, if you have something that's conflicting with that level of motivation, in other words, Hetty Green had no conflicts with having a lot of money. She just didn't know what to do with it or didn't have the motivation to rise out of that level of security because that's where she was. That's just what was so for her. However, if you're trying to start a business, but you have a feeling, or say you have a hidden decision, you're not even aware that it's there, that money is bad, or successful people, or evil, or crooks, something like that. Every time you get close to that, something's going to happen to where you're going, that subconsciously there's going to be a sabotage moment. Something will happen that will sabotage that success, some form, way, shape, or form, and you won't be able to achieve that in your life. And so the theory of the very good reason says that there's a very good reason on whatever level of motivation you are that keeps you at that level of motivation. Until you can get in and find out what are the hidden factors, what are the hidden decisions that lock you into that level of motivation and actually change those, get access and change those decisions, that level of motivation will run your life. And until you're able to change those decisions, you won't be able to enjoy the fruits, as I call it, of the higher levels of motivation, including self-esteem and self-actualization, which are the upper tiers of that motivational pyramid, the hierarchy of needs, according to Maslow. So the underlying principle in this is that the conscious mind, if you have a conflict between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, or I call it subconscious being because it's like having a separate person in there, most of the time, the subconscious being wins. It's more powerful and has the advantage of operating at a fundamental level of your passion, in other words, survival passion. Whether or not starting a business, for example, is a real survival threat, it may be perceived as a real threat. And so any actions that you make toward it would be blocked, no matter how much conscious enthusiasm or passion you can drum up. You can go to all the motivational seminars you want. It won't make any difference because that level of passion will be aimed at survival, not at success or self-esteem or motivation at that level. So that's what I wanted to say about the theory of the very good reason, that there is a very fundamental, very good reason why things are the way they are. Now, fundamental change, therefore, requires tapping into a fundamental passion and changing the hidden decisions. Otherwise, real transformation is quite impossible, actually. I like a statement by actor Will Smith. He said in one of his interviews, he said he's willing to die rather than quit a task or competition he has undertaken. And that's what's true of fundamental decisions. It's that total commitment. So you say, well, how do I get there? How do I separate, for example, illusions? Maybe I have an illusion for starting a business. And how do I make it a dream? Henry David Thoreau says, there's no need to, he says, go ahead and build your castles in the air. He says, that's where they should be. Build the foundations under them. So dreams are not the problem. It's understanding what is required to build a foundation under that dream is the problem. And if you have contrary decisions in your subconscious that are stopping you from building that foundation, that dream becomes an illusion and it collapses under its own weight. And so the way to understand and use the law of the very good reason is understand that there is a very good reason for things being the way they are in your life and that there is a way to overcome it. And the way to overcome it is simply to delve within, to find out what are the hidden decisions that you've made and what can you do to change that. And I'll give you a little background here. Let's see here. Hold on one second. And a little background for me is that, you know, I went to a private school as a child in Savannah. I grew up in Savannah. My parents were educated, but they were middle class Georgia citizens. And it was because of my mother we went to private school. My father wasn't doing all that well. He was an architect, but he wasn't paid very well, and he had to drum up his own business. He scraped together enough money, however, to send my sister and me to private school, and so we received a good education. We didn't, however, receive the same mindsets as our richer classmates. Most of those had come from rich families, and they had come to school already equipped with that different mindset. And so most of my classmates in this small private school had very wealthy parents and could afford to do things I simply couldn't. And their parents taught them that money meant opportunity, safety, power, freedom, and an ability to pursue happiness with great gusto. In other words, they were already at a level four of motivation, say. However, I was still at a level two, didn't know it. And their everyday experience taught them that this was true, and most of my classmates developed into community leaders. On the other side of the coin, my parents taught me honesty, how to be honest and conservative, but also there was an idea in there somehow, and I don't know if they gave it to me or not, but rich people are crooks. This idea that rich people can't be trusted somehow just sort of seeped in, and I was taught that money meant risk, abuse of power, the burden of responsibility, and unhappiness. And my everyday experience also proved to me that this was true, and I developed into someone who became quite mediocre financially and socially withdrawn. And I couldn't do the things my rich classmates could do. I couldn't go where they could go. I remember my dad told me I couldn't take a trip to Costa Rica with classmates to study Spanish, and I was very, you know, set back on that. And it was nothing to them, a $500 trip. Of course, this was back in the 60s, and things were a lot cheaper. But the justification I came with was that the conclusion was that they were mean and sensitive or untrustworthy, when really I found out later the opposite was true. Many of my wealthy classmates, or wealthy people in general, I found, are very open to being friends. But because of my attitude, they didn't get near me. I wouldn't let them near me. And that's the way it works. Now, you could have what I call, actually a friend of mine, Jason Omans, called it money goggles. If you put on your money goggles, you see money everywhere. Now, rich folks see opportunity everywhere. Poor folks, or the ones who are poor in spirit or outlook, as I used to be, can only see monsters in the closets and failure lurking around every corner. It's the same situation, but you get totally different results. And the classic idea in Conversations with Millionaires and the other books that Jason Omans wrote, a friend of mine also, he talked about it, and he says, the world is shaped by our outlook. It's also universally misunderstood and unknown. If we never see the opportunities, how can we take advantage of them? And that goes to the understanding or the heart of this theory of motivation, that if we're at a level two of motivation, how can we possibly take advantage of a level four opportunity, even when it presents itself? And so the rich, those with the clear money goggles, see opportunities for wealth and money everywhere they look. And the poor people, like I used to be, can only see themselves as victims and therefore attract things that victims attract. And the statement or this phrase I like so much is, what you don't know is not the problem. It's what you know that isn't so. And what I knew, for example, in high school simply wasn't true. That, for example, that money is bad, rich people by association are bad, and that I'm bad for wanting what they want. And as I said, these days a lot of my best friends are rich and mentors are rich, and I adore and respect them. And they give a lot of money to charity and seem sincerely interested in those around them. So I suspect that the same was true in school, but I just couldn't see it. And so this secret law of motivation is the hierarchy of needs, according to Maslow. And a lot of the success gurus, the motivational coaches simply don't know this. They simply don't know that we're operating at a level two of motivation. And so they presume that we want the same things that they do. And so the very good reason that a motivational instructor would have, for example, is they want to give us the same motivation they have. They want to give us the same tools that they have that they found so successful. But they don't realize that they're operating at a level four motivation, for example. They already are at self-esteem and success and motivation and happiness, whereas level two is about security, or level one is about survival. And so if you're operating from a level one, level two, very difficult for you to even comprehend what a success coach or guru is talking about. And success gurus and coaches know this, they just don't know, they don't know why. And so they just keep drumming away, hoping that someone is going to hear their message, and enough people do that make their efforts worthwhile, obviously, because transformation can happen, by the way. I'm not saying it can't, and I'm not saying it's useless for a motivational success coach to be out there, you know, beating the drum. It's just that a lot of times it's very difficult for someone at a level one or level two motivation to skip up that far or to skip over and reach that. It takes some self-examination. It takes you looking inside and finding out what is the motivation? Where am I coming from? What is the very good reason why I'm operating what's the very good reason why my business failed? You know, every time something failed for me, I had to look at it and I had to examine what was it that happened, for example, that I lost money on this deal. What was it happened that I lost my motivation for doing, say, real estate or something like that? What was it that happened why I dropped out of this business or never completed that? And what was the motivation behind me completing certain things? And so when you begin to look at your motivation from that aspect, that there's a very good reason for everything you do and everything you think, you start to come up with a picture. You start to paint a picture, sort of like connecting the dots, painting a picture. What is it that I really want and how am I going to get there? And part of branding from the soul is, what is your motivation? And unless you know that, you cannot brand from your soul. You can't come from who you truly are because you really don't know who you truly are. You're not even aware of your level of motivation, so how can you really know who you are? And so my suggestion to you today is simply discover what your motivation is and find out, ask the questions, go within, find out what is it that's your major problem. Because your major problem, by the way, is your portal to that understanding. If you're having a problem with relationships, you're having a problem with money, having a problem with jobs or whatever, what is the feeling that comes up? Is it a feeling of fear? If so, you're probably operating on level one or two. If this feeling of fear is there, then, what kind of fear is it? Is it a fear of, loss? Is it a fear, just a dread? Is it something that you're looking at that you just feel like annihilation coming on? Or is it a feeling like, you're just not at the peak of what you could be doing? Once you begin to understand those hidden decisions and change those, you realize that a lot of this stuff that you're feeling is not even yours. And the theory of the very good reason also encompasses the idea that we inherit a lot of our feelings from our ancestors, from our parents, from those around us when we were very young, or even through our genetic code. There's an understanding that traits are passed from generation to generation. Fears are passed from generation to generation. Lamarck, who back in the 1820s came up with his theories of evolution before Darwin, was talking about that. Lamarck is making a comeback, and a lot of that understanding that we lost is coming back to us, that we do inherit our ancestors' tendencies. And most of them, by the way, were concerned about survival and just basic stuff, just putting food on the table, water, shelter, clothing, all the basics. Primarily, that's what our ancestors were concerned with. And it's only recently, in fact, in the last couple of generations, that we even came up with the idea of self-actualization. Maslow came up with that in the 40s, and basically it probably didn't exist too often before then, or in very isolated places like Tibet or some places where they were doing a lot of meditation or spiritual practice. So mankind at large is beginning to evolve into that state where we're beginning to see more and more that self-actualization is a possibility, where we're exposed to that idea more and more, that love and self-actualization and success is entirely possible. And this, as a whole, is beginning to bring us up from that state of just merely surviving. So mankind as a whole is rising up into that. But how are you in this picture of things? You sort of have to look at it because you still have part of you, which is what's called the animal brain or the limbic system, which is still just trying to survive. And you're still trying to, fight out to grab that morsel of food or whatever it is. You're still acting in part like an animal because you still need things. There's still an animal part of you that needs things. And so there's a motivation in there that maybe you don't want to even look at. I am selfish when it comes to food, or you know, I do grab my wife's food sometimes when she's not looking or when I'm hungry, stuff like that. So if you begin to look at your motivation and begin to realize that, yes, there are parts of you that are not so pleasant, you can begin to understand why you are stuck where you're stuck, and that the theory of the very good reason means that that part of you is just as much a part of you as any other part. And until you can come to grips with that being or that part, that subconscious being who has that need, and you can go in and ask that being or ask those ancestors or whoever is attached to change that decision that relates to that need and consciously begin to support that need. So, well, you need food. Well, okay, let's make sure you get enough food, you know? Or you need security. Let's make sure that we have a job right now or have something right now that makes me feel more secure. Something. Once you begin to deal with those decisions, once the very good reason is dealt with, whether it's logical to us or not, and you can read about this in my book called The Logical Soul, where I talk about this in more depth, then you'll begin to address those ideas that you can rise to that higher level. You can become successful, and you can start making cash, making money and profit from your passion. And then your passion becomes unleashed, because once you get out of the fear, you automatically rise into that level of self-esteem and motivation where the success coaches and motivational teachers are actually coming from and do not understand why fear even exists on lower levels, because they're not there. If they were there, they weren't there for very long. They've always had somewhat that level 4 motivation or level 5 or whatever they are. But most life coaches are at level 4 where they're focused on self-esteem, motivation, success, things like that. That's a level 4 trait. So to reach that level and beyond, learn to let go of the fear. Learn to dive within to find those hidden decisions that keep that very good reason in place. Find out the very good reason. Ask the one who made the decision to change the decision and come out and bring that to fruition, and your life will transform. And so if there are any questions, I'm open to that. If anybody's here and want to ask a question, we've got just a couple of minutes here. For everybody else, if you want to go to my website, I'm offering a free video on my number one secret tactic to turn your passion into an avalanche of cash, and you can go to www.passiontocashvideo.com and get that. And also my website, www.logicalsoul.com. And so this is the third segment of the Branding from the Soul. And next segment, upcoming, let's see, we're going to be going into your inner limits of wealth. I'm going to be going into what are those things that basically guide your wealth. There are certain beliefs that we have that keep us stuck in a certain wealth pattern, or lack of wealth pattern, I should say. And next week, and this will be August the 24th, I'll be going into those, what I consider 4 major considerations. If you want to be wealthy, you have to look at that motivation at those levels. And so today, we talked about the levels of motivation. Next week, we'll be talking about there are specific statements or specific beliefs that tie into those levels of motivation. And I want to see how that affects you. And there are ways that you can test yourself to find out how you stand with that. And so you can break out of these patterns very quickly and very fast and begin to get on to that level of motivation, which involves great success in life and starting to make cash and starting to earn and make profit from your passion. So thank you for joining me today. I'm Dr. Michael Craig, and this is Logical Soul Talk. If you have questions, call in. The number is area code 347-843-4544. We also have, for those who listen on podcast, sort of a few minutes after the show where you can hear what's going on. If you do call in now, you won't be heard live, but you could be heard on the podcast. So if you want to call in, 347-843-4544, you can ask me a question. Otherwise, thank you for joining me. I look forward to speaking with you next week about branding from the company.